Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, this morning we're going to be taking a look at the gospel lesson which you had just previously heard read. And of course, this is the gospel of the disciples that were traveling down the road to Emmaus. And as they were there, they were visited by Jesus. And while there are many, many different lessons that we can get, it really is a lesson today that I'm going to bring to you that really talks about things that hit our life each and every day. But it's a lesson that we can learn from this particular text. And you know, as we see this text, you know, it's fun that we can kind of get together, and even as I do announcements, we can kind of laugh and giggle together to be in fellowship with one another and just simply have fun at church. You know, a lot of people think that church is one of those things that we just have to be serious all the time. But the reality of it is that it really is a joyful part of our life, being with one another, being able simply to share in times of joy, being in times of celebration, and just simply being there with one another. That's an important thing, and that's something that we see in the road to Emmaus, is that fellowship that's together. And I'll talk about that in just a few moments. But what I'm really going to do is I'm really going to kind of change things around here. And we're going to really look at something that happens in everybody's life. I don't care who you are. I don't care what background you have. There are times in our lives in which we have disappointments. There are things that happen that disappoint us greatly. Sometimes it's just when we go and maybe there's a special job or something that we want to do and we become disappointed because we don't get that job. Maybe there's some things that expectations we have out of our children and they don't quite live up to there, and there the disappointments are there. Sometimes it's just simply the games and the things that we do in life. Rather than winning, we find out that there are disappointments. You see, that's the reality of our life, and I think even in this present day, no matter what it is that our disappointment comes from, that there, especially during this time in our lives, because there are so many things that we're disappointed about. We take a look at even our society today, and even in some aspects, what some of the churches out in our community are teaching, and we become very disappointed. We become disappointed because some of the old values and things that we used to, we've grown up with, just aren't there anymore. And sometimes we just are disappointed because we don't understand what's really happening out there. But you know, that's really what this lesson really talks to us about. Is it really talks to us about disappointment, because here is a situation where you have these two men that are walking down. We know that one of them's name is Simon and the other one's name is Cleopas. And they're out there and they're walking down the road, and you can imagine as they're walking, you can picture them, they're kind of shuffling their feet, they're sad. Because they are experiencing disappointment that's beyond imagination. You see, they had their hopes all tied up into this person of Jesus Christ that was supposed to be the Savior, the one that was going to come and save Israel. The one that was going to come and redeem Israel. But yet, there in front of their eyes, as they were in Jerusalem, they knew and they understood what had happened. That this Redeemer that they thought that they had, they knew that he was blessed by God. They knew that he was something special. They knew that he was a prophet above all prophets. But they looked at him and they saw him taken by the very leaders of the church and hung on a cross, crucified, and then he was placed in the tomb. We know they were disappointed because the scripture tells us that they were saddened. In fact, they would go along the way, and you know how it kind of is. They probably had their heads down as they walked and they were talking with them, kind of shuffling along, and every once in a while they would just simply stop because of how sad they were because of this. Well, we can learn from the example of this text, can't we? Because these men experienced disappointment, and a great disappointment. Well, how was it that they dealt with it? How was it that this teaches us? Well, first of all, we have to realize that what we have to do is do exactly what Jesus did for them. What he did was he came alongside, you know, as they were kind of going through, he walks up to them and he starts having a conversation with them. And however it was done, we don't know, but the Holy Spirit made it so that they didn't really recognize Jesus. We don't know how that happened. That's one of those mysteries that's out there. But for some reason, these men didn't identify Jesus. They didn't realize who they were walking with. But yet they were walking down this road. And he starts to tell him, he says, you know, first of all, they question him, have you not heard of what's happened? Are you not the only person from Jerusalem, the visitor of Jerusalem, that didn't hear the news? You know, that tells us, first of all, this, if it was in today's world, it would be on the internet, it would be on all the TV stations, you'd be getting texts, you'd be getting blogs, you'd be getting all of those things. There's no way that you shouldn't know what's going on. Shouldn't you be sad as well? And that's when he looked and he says, first of all, he said, he pointed them back to Scripture. You see, that's the first thing we have to do in disappointment, is we have to look back. We have to look back into Scripture. And we have to understand what Scripture tells us. You know, for Jesus, it said this. In fact, what Jesus told him is he started back with Moses and all the prophets that are there. And he said, look at this. Don't you realize that these are the things that the Savior had to do? This is what he had to endure. Don't you realize that the Savior had to suffer? And that he was even going to die on the cross? After all, it's there in the Scriptures. But so many times we forget about that. You know, when we become disappointed over things, it's so easy to get caught up in the thing that we're disappointed that we forget to look back and look in the Scripture. There was a girl that was today she is a very famous ballet dancer, and she also does others. She's danced on Broadway and that. And the thing about it was that when she was a young girl, as she was aspiring up, and she had this major audition that was coming up. And as she was preparing for this audition and that, she was in a car, and she was in a very bad car accident. And she ended up having to go to the hospital, and she spent nearly 3 months in the hospital. She broke both of her legs, and she broke some of the major bones in her upper body. But yet there was somebody that came to her and visited her in the hospital, and they noticed that when she was there, that she wasn't dwelling in the disappointment, but she had joy in her heart. And they couldn't understand, why? Why are you so joyous about this? So don't you realize this was a time in your life when, you know, things could have really changed and it could have meant a great deal. And she says, what I did was I looked back, and this is what I do. She said, I look back and I look into the Scriptures and I remember the words of King David. Remember the words in Psalm 23. And what I do is I picture myself dancing to that psalm. And oh, what a beautiful thing it is. You see, the reality of it is that when we look back to the prophets, they are examples that God has given us there. Even the great King David, he had his struggles, he had his disappointments. He had times in which he was facing enemies that he didn't know how he was going to deal with it. But every time we read the Psalms, we see how he struggled with that disappointment, with that fear, and with all of those things that are there. But yet every psalm, when we look at the end of it, it's always a time of joy. It's always a time of singing hallelujahs, just like we sang just a moment ago. Singing those hallelujahs and realizing that our life is a time of joy. You see, that dancer, she could have dwelt on the disappointment. But what she did was she dwelt on the Word. And you see, that's really the example for us when we have those times of disappointment in our lives. Rather than dwelling in that disappointment, what we have to do is we have to look back. We have to look into the Scriptures and hear these words, realizing that in this life we are going to experience disappointments. In this life we are going to experience setbacks. In this life we are going to experience those things, and we have to suffer those things. But as Paul says, he says I'll suffer, you know, the suffering that we have now is in no comparison to the glory that we're going to have in eternal life. You see, and so the very first thing is when we experience that disappointment in our life, we have to look back. But then the second thing that it does is we have to do exactly what those people did right there. What those men did on the road. We have to have fellowship with other believers. You see, that's really what kind of picked them up a little bit. Is what they did was they met together with somebody else and they thought he was just another disciple, another follower of Jesus. And it was there as they walked together, as they shared in fellowship, like I was saying earlier in our sermon, was they shared in that fellowship, and what they were able to do is they were able to lift those words back up. In fact, the words that Jesus gave, it wasn't words. It wasn't the situations where Jesus jumped out in front of them. Look, here I am. Look at me. I'm here. They didn't know who he was. And so they just simply had fellowship with another believer, and they talked about the scriptures, and it was by talking about those scriptures that they lifted one another's up. You see, that's the great thing about it is that when we have times of disappointment, the best place for us to be is here in this place. To be here with the people that are sitting next to you or across from you. The people that are sitting in the back and the people that are sitting in the front. Whether it's just simply here during church or Bible study, or it's times like when we go to the zoo. What better place can we be and celebrate the blessings of Jesus Christ than to be out into the zoo and see the animals and the great creation that God has had? Because it reminds us of what he's done. It reminds us that he's put all of this here for us. It reminds us that he's blessed us. It reminds us that he saved them in the flood so that we could see him and enjoy him today. And that we could be with one another and enjoy that time we have together. You see, that's the thing about it is that when Christians are together, what we do is we somehow God uses us to give those words of consolation to one another. It's in those times that what it does is it takes us away from dwelling on the disappointments. And it gives us a freeing of the mind. You see, that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to dwell in the disappointment. He wants us to doubt God. He wants us to doubt that God's in control and that God's there. And I can guarantee you that's exactly how those men on the road to Emmaus felt. They felt like all was lost. But yet when we get together with other Christians, and when we have fellowship, when we simply share with one another, then what happens is that joy comes back into our lives, that it takes our minds off of that despair, and it points us to the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. It reminds me of a story it was a Baptist pastor. And fortunately, in a Lutheran church, we don't have to quite worry about this. But in the Baptist church, evidently, what you can do is when a pastor comes, you can vote him in or you can vote him out. And this was a guy that came to a church. And like what happens in a lot of churches is that at first, everything was great. You know, everybody seemed to love him and everything. But yet, 10 years later, something happened within the church, and for some reason, they were at odds with one another. And so they decided to have a general assembly meeting, and they said, oh, see you, pastor. You're gone. You can imagine how devastating that was for the pastor. And so he goes home, and he goes with his wife and everything, but there was a friend of his that lived in the same town, and they had this little vacation place right out on the lake. And so when they found out what happened, they called the pastor up and he said, you know, come on over and let's spend the weekend at the lake. He said, well, I don't have to preach this weekend. I don't have to put together a sermon, so why not? So it was in that time that they came together. And it was during that weekend, you would think that it would all be sadness and despair. But the thing about it was, as they got together and they talked about things, they remembered old times, they remembered the celebrations that they had, they remembered the great joys that they had in the Word of God. And before they knew it, the weekend was over, and their spirits were totally turned around. Because they had spent time with other Christians, and it was there that they talked about the love of the Lord and what the Lord has done for them. That they were able to do is they were share in the breaking of the bread. They were there to share a meal together, and it was in those times that what happened was that they consoled each other in the Word of Jesus Christ, and rather than dwelling on the past, they looked forward to the future. And you see, that's really the third lesson that we learn from this, is that when we're in Jesus Christ, we look forward to the future. Because it was there on that road to Emmaus that as they were fellowshipping one another, what they did was they said, hey, Jesus, well, they didn't know his name. They said, hey, we don't know who you are. You're a stranger. You're traveling. But you know what? It's kind of late tonight. And you know, you don't want to be out on this road. Why don't you come in and have supper with us? Why don't you come and do this? And why don't you even stay the night? Because what they did was they realized as they were fellowshipping with one another that these words of God were dwelling in their heart. In fact, they said it was burning in their hearts. And what they wanted to do is continue to share with one another. And it was there when they went to that very place, that very bread. That's when Jesus revealed himself. Because it was there that they broke the bread and he blessed that bread. And when he blessed that, they saw Jesus Christ. But see, it's the same thing for us. I wish I had brought Holy Communion here in the late service, but in the early service we received it. Next week in the late service we're going to receive Holy Communion. But it's there, isn't it, where we see when Jesus blessed that bread, they saw in him that fellowship that comes through the Holy Supper. And isn't that same fellowship that we have, that when we come forward and we go to the table and receive his very body and blood, that we hear that same blessing? You see, they realized when they heard that blessing of Jesus Christ, they realized that this was the Savior, that he was there before them, and their eyes were opened. And it's the same thing for us. When we come together and we fellowship and we hear that blessing of Jesus Christ, our eyes once again are opening, and that Word of God dwells in our heart and it burns in our heart. It pushes out what sin would do. Sin would have us cover that up. And that's why we don't recognize it, especially when we're in despair, when we're in times of disappointment. Or even when we have allergies. But you know, it's in the midst of that that they recognized, and that's what fellowship does. Because it's that Word of God that was what helped them to do, is helped them to look forward. And you see, that's the third thing, is by looking forward. Looking forward what our life is in Jesus Christ. You see, what we have to understand is that our life is not over. It's not measured on the past, but it's what we look forward to. It's what the people saw when they looked forward in Jesus Christ. You know, it reminds me of a story about a lady. And this was a lady not unlike a lot of us here that have turned that magic number of the age 50. And the thing about it was, is as she looked at that, she looked back on her life. And when she looked back on her life, rather than looking at the joys, what she did was she saw the disappointments that she had. And one of the disappointments was that now she always wanted to learn how to ride a horse. She even took her daughter. When her daughter was young, she took her and she got her lessons. And her daughter was able to ride horse. And every time she saw her daughter ride the horse, she just wished she could do it. I guess she didn't have enough money to be able to pay for lessons for both of them. And so her life had gone by, and now she got to the age of 50. And as she looked, she became depressed. She became disappointed with that part of her life. But then one day she was up in the attic and she was kind of cleaning through things, and she came across this little booklet that her daughter had made. And she made it when she was of the age 8. And she forgot about it, and it was kind of sitting there. And so she took it and she looked it over. And then what her daughter did was she took pictures of herself on all 8 years of her life. And the first year she put it down. Of course, she probably was just listening from stories that she had been told. She wrote down all the neat things about when she was 1. And then she put the picture there when she was 2 and wrote those. And of course, as you know, as the child got a little bit older, as we watched people like Emmy growing up and Holly growing up and Lily growing up back there, and we kind of see all the different neat little things that they do and how they've changed just even in a year. She did all of that. And then at the end, on the 8th year, she wrote down all the neat things that she got to do. But then, of course, at that age, she was at the end of her book. So when her mom turned it to the last page, what she expected to see was the thing that we see in most books, right? We see it and it's the end. It's finished. It's done. The thing about it was her daughter didn't write it at the end. She wrote the beginning. You see, that's the reality of it is that when we look into Jesus Christ, that when we look at our lives, is we don't look to the past, we look to the forward and realize that each and every day is a new day in Jesus Christ. That it's just simply the beginning for us. It's not the end, it's the beginning. And for her, what that meant was she put aside that disappointment and she went out and she got lessons and she was able to learn how to ride that horse. And so now she could proudly go out and ride that horse. But for us, no matter what our disappointment is to realize that no matter what it is that today is not the end of our life, but it's the beginning. When we look to Jesus Christ, everything is the beginning of our life. Because we look forward and we look to what Christ has got for us, that even if death comes our way, even if we face death head on, that is simply not an end, but it is a beginning for us. It is a beginning of a life in perfection. A life, once again, when we don't have to worry about the disappointments of this life, that those disappointments will be wiped away and we'll see Jesus and we'll live with Jesus and we'll live with those loved ones that have gone before us. We'll see people that we've never seen before and only heard about in stories when we fellowship with one another. We'll be there with Jesus Christ himself, and we're not going to be limited by this body. We're no longer going to be disappointed because we can't see well enough with the glasses that we have on, or we can't run fast enough, or we can't move fast enough, or we have to walk with a walker, or whatever it is. Those disappointments of life will be gone, and it's a new beginning in Jesus Christ. And you see, that's really what it's all about, is the fact because we have been baptized in Jesus Christ that we have a new beginning in our lives. And that each day, that rather than looking back on the disappointments, we look forward of the open tomb. And you see, the thing about it is the reason we can is because we no longer live in fear. Because Christ has taken that fear away. It really is like this. Most of us, when we look at the tomb, when we look at a tomb, we fear it. In fact, the women that went to the tomb didn't want to walk in because they didn't want to look what was in there. There was fear in their hearts. But the thing about it is we need to take our lesson from a possum. Possums are really very smart creatures. Possums are really creatures that first of all, most of us, the only time we really ever see them is either when they're lying dead on the street, which we don't see a whole lot of that. We see a few. Or, like what we see at our house, is every time that it snows, we see these little possum tracks that go off from our front porch to the backyard and then back to it. But most people don't realize how smart they are. The reason we don't see a whole lot of them is because they are very good. They're very good at defending themselves. And they're very smart about the way that they approach it. Most people don't realize that possums really don't dig their own holes to live in. What they do is they take over holes that are already there. But the thing about it is that when they approach one of these holes, what they always do is they look for the tracks that are there. And if a possum sees that there's a hole with only one set of tracks, the possum won't go in because he knows that the person that used to occupy it is probably still there. But if he goes up to that hole and he sees that there's two sets of tracks, then what he does is he enters without fear, because he knows that one set of tracks went in and another one had to be made to come out. Well, see, that's the way that we approach death in the tomb, isn't it? Because Jesus, at Jesus' tomb, there are two sets of tracks. There's the one that brought him into the grave, and there's another set that brought him out of the grave. And because of that, we no longer have to fear death, because Christ has risen. He has risen, and he's out of that tomb. And each day that we live, we can live without fear, and we can live in that joy. Each day when we face disappointment, we don't have to face it with that. We can face it with joy, because we now live in this world. We now live with Christ. We now lived as his redeemed people, his redeemed children. And that's what it's all about. That's the lesson we take from the Emmaus walk. That's what we do. That when we face disappointments in this world, that all we have to do is, first of all, we look back and we look into the scriptures. We look into the great people that God has given us in order to be examples of the faith so that our faith can be revitalized. And then we go out and we simply go and we spend time with other believers, sharing in the breaking of the bread and living in the blessing of Jesus Christ, receiving that for the forgiveness of sins and knowing that because of that, we now have a future. And then that's exactly what we do, is we don't look back. We only look forward because we, each day is a new beginning in Jesus Christ. You see, that's exactly what we learn in this lesson. In fact, if you really look at this lesson and you see what happened to these men, once they realized the joy that they have, Jesus just simply disappeared. And they could have decided, oh, I'm going to stay in for the night. We're going to head out tomorrow. But no, what did they do? They were so excited that they got up and they ran back to Jerusalem to tell everybody what happened. You see, that's what we're here for, is to tell everybody. Let everybody know of the joy that we have. And that's what it is. And the reason we can have joy is because Christ is risen.
He is
risen indeed. Hallelujah. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds centered and focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.